Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Solo pod tonight. We'll have a pod with a guest tomorrow for Friday. Steve McPherson from Wolf Among Wolves and Grantland Complex. I think he's been on, Operation Sports, Rolling Stone, basically anywhere on the internet. He has written. He's going to join us. We're going to really break down the Kevin Love trade. But Kevin Love allegedly is getting traded. There's still 2 weeks for the Wolves to screw this up. So there's, you know, knowing the organization, there's plenty of chance for Klay Thompson to come available, and then they'll take that instead, and just, you know, my anybody but David Lee criteria will be completely thrown out the window. But as of right now, there's an agreement in principle. Wolves send Kevin Love, who's a, I don't know, three-time All-NBA guy, I think, and made a few All-Star teams, to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers send back number one pick from 2013, Anthony Bennett. Send back number one pick from 2014, Andrew Wiggins. Send the Miami first rounder for 2015, which is a top 10 protected pick. So unless the Heat completely fall apart in a weak Eastern Conference, Wolves should end up with a second first round pick, and theirs is owed to Phoenix, but it's top 12 protected, and this team is not going to be better than top 12. So you've got to, I don't know, the Timberwolves are... They actually made the right move, or at least it looks like they're going to have made the right move. For Cleveland, this is such a coup. I know there are people out there that doubt Kevin Love, and there's the whole idea that he's never been to the playoffs, so how do we know he's actually going to be good? That's just stupid. Like, he's been a number one guy for the last, I would say, 2.5, because 2012-13, he only played 18 games. I'll say the last 3.5 seasons. He's been the number one guy on the Timberwolves, and he's been facing the focus of the defense every night. He's been, you know, the focus of the defense in clutch situations. He's been pretty good in clutch situations. He's also failed, you know, a few times, and they were bad at the end of games last year, but that wasn't all his fault. I'd say it's very little of his fault. It just, you know, the offense was bad, the defense was bad and at the end of games, and, you know, defense is partly his fault, but I think his reputation as a horrendous defender is completely overblown. I think he's a minus defender, but I think he's, you know, average more often than he's horrendous. And, you know, that's still not great, but that's something that that you can live with if you're a Cavs fan. They've got three go-to number one scorers with LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, and they've still got Tristan Thompson and Anderson Varejao and Deion Waiters and Mike Miller and James Jones, and this is a, you know, they've put themselves in position to win the East. They'll have to overcome the Chicago Bulls, who, if Derrick Rose is healthy, that team's going to be absurd. They've got to figure out a couple of defensive issues. It looks like they're going to get Sean Marion, but the Cavs are, they're there. This is what they, you know, this is kind of what they wanted all along, and you couldn't just come out and say, all right, we signed LeBron, now let's go get Kevin Love. You had to throw something out there of value, and they threw the best package out there possible, and the Timberwolves couldn't turn it down, or at least with 2 weeks to go, they can't turn it down, because we got to wait till August 23rd for Wiggins to be traded. But this is a big move for the Timberwolves. Moving forward, they've got a core of Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Ricky Rubio, Gorgui Dieng, Anthony Bennett, unless they trade him to the Philadelphia 76ers for Thaddeus Young, but we don't know. There's a couple of conflicting reports there where they might not have to give up Bennett, who Sam Hinkie really liked, but they wouldn't have to give up Bennett to get Thaddeus Young. They might just be expirings, or they might actually have to give up Bennett. It's kind of confusing or maybe that trade doesn't happen at all. But this is a pretty good core. They still have Nikola Pekovic. Kevin Martin, it doesn't make any sense on this team anymore. Chase Budinger, you hope, can come back from a knee injury. Corey Brewer has 2 years left, and, you know, maybe you can move him in a deal. They've got expirings like Shved, Barea, and Bamute to move if they want to. And this is by no means – some people are thinking, like, oh, well, maybe if Wiggins is legit, this team could challenge for a playoff spot. They're not challenging for a playoff spot. If they win 30 games, that will be very fortunate for them next season. And, I love Pekovic. I kind of would hate to see him go, but the Wolves would be the most responsible if they decided to kind of gut the veterans off this team and just have a really young core. You give Rubio a reasonable extension, which I would guess You know, I think 4 years, $50 million is probably around the number he'll get if he stays with the Timberwolves. I think that, you know, maybe that's overpaying for him a little bit, but you kind of got overpaid because you're bad. And I think you'll have, you know, depending on how he improves, you'll have, I don't know, $28 million in cap space for the summer of 2016. The core of Bennett and Wiggins, Jang, and LaVine will be, I think it's a combined like $18 million is how much it'll cost. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do if you're going to rebuild. You need good young talent on very cheap contracts on those rookie deals, and that's how you rebuild the team. You maximize those situations, and the Timberwolves are in position to do that. Like I said earlier, there's still plenty of time to screw this up, but this is, I don't know, this is encouraging as a Timberwolves guy, and this is, I think if you're a Cavs fan, you know, there are Cavs fans that didn't want to give up Wiggins and thought, oh, you can just wait out the Wolves and not have to give up, you know, nearly as much value. I don't think that was ever going to be the case, because you were always going to have the Warriors able to offer up Klay Thompson at any point in the season, and you were always going to have the Bulls with that package of Taj Gibson and McDermott and Mirotić out there to if the Wolves really wanted to bite on that deal, and that would have been a good deal for them too. I don't think the Cavs really. I think if you're going to do this, if you're the Cavs, you present a situation before the season starts. You have to make that trade before the season starts, so everyone come together and have a full camp together, full preseason, and really start to learn each other. And if you try to wait in season, I think there's just too much that can go wrong. There's, you know, injuries can happen that derail the trade. Another team could swoop in. You got to capitalize on these situations, and they're doing that, and kudos to them. There's also talk that he's going to agree to a five-year, $120 million contract or whatever the numbers end up being, opt out next summer. He also may opt out and take a shorter deal, kind of like what LeBron did to go there, to get a lay of the land and see what's going to be best for him in terms of maximizing his financial situation with the new TV contract, the new CBA, and all that. But this is a trade in which I think you can feel really good about both sides. The Timberwolves got the number one player in the 2014 draft class as a, you know, I think a lot of people with Embiid injuries would say Wiggins is that guy. And if he pans out, you've got yourself a star for 7 years until he forces a trade. And they're in a good cap situation. It's a good move for them. Good move for the Cavs, who are now the favorites to win the East. And Bovada put out the odds to win the title, and they were 5-2 favorites ahead of the Spurs, ahead of the Thunder, ahead of everybody. I don't think that actually means they're the favorite to win the title. I think that's just a way to get the public to bet, right? Because isn't that what the whole goal of odds making is? Is that you're gonna try to get the public to bet certain ways, and maybe this is a way to trick them into it. I don't know. It's possible I just don't understand odds making at all, and I'm just talking out of my rear. But I do think that the Spurs are still probably the favorites to win the championship, because they're the Spurs and they have the best system and they're the best coach and they manage everything perfectly. But the Cavs, I think you can feel good about them in the East. I don't think they're a lock to win the East by any means, but I think they're legitimately favorites, even with all those new pieces. So congratulations to both sides. Congratulations, Timberwolves fans. You can start liking the team again. I have a feeling that the backlash to Kevin Love it's already started with Wolves fans and the local media there, but it'll happen. It'll get a little more intense, and like, Kevin Love never meant anything to the organization, and that'll happen at some point. We can break that down with Steve tomorrow a little bit deeper, but it's a pretty good situation for both sides. The other big news today, Kevin Durant is withdrawing from the FIBA World Cup Team USA. That was a shocker, because he says he was physically and mentally drained after all of his obligations. He just didn't have it in him to commit the way he needed to commit. And you have to wonder, is Paul George and his injury, his horrific injury, which we didn't get a chance to talk about, that injury is just so bad. So just, you just feel so bad for him, and hope he can recover, and because he's just such a special player, and so, you know, he's become the star in this league, and he's got money, and he'll be fine financially. It's not like it's gonna hurt his career in that sense. He's got more than enough money, but you just want to see a young guy like that keep getting better and keep playing, and now we have to wait a year and a half, and we just don't know what the recovery will be with him. But you have to wonder if that injury kind of let KD realize, all right, if I'm not 100% in this, I shouldn't be in this. I can't risk getting hurt. And he's on the verge of getting, I don't know, $600, $700 million from Under Armour. I mean, not quite that much, but $325 million is the reported number right now, or at least that's the buzz, and who knows if that's the actual number he'll get. But $325 million over 10 years from Under Armour, that's a lot of money. You don't want to – he wouldn't screw that up. He'd get that done before the World Cup. But I think you just want to make sure that you're ready for the season. You're ready to represent yourself in the Thunder and go out and try to win a championship. So him pulling out, if LeBron was playing, if Kevin Love was playing – maybe he doesn't feel that way, but now younger guys will get a chance. The Team USA, they're really going to rely on Steph Curry, Derrick Rose, and Kyrie, to, assuming those guys make it, Anthony Davis, to really carry the country and carry Team USA basketball. And with Spain lurking, Argentina is still going to be good, France is still good. You know, there's still a lot of Russia's going to be good. There's a lot of talent there in that FIBA World Cup, and you know, Team USA may not be the favorites anymore. At least they're not a lock to win it. I think they were a lock to win it. It was going to be a competitive lock, but they were still a lock. But no Durant, and now things got a little bit more interesting in Spain in the month of September. Because it is a solo pod, I am answering your questions. You guys submitted it with the EOB pod hashtag. Let's jump right into it. At Justin Cusick, Goat Scar, Goat Varus. Wants to know, will the Pacers trade for Brandon Bass or Jeff Green to replace Paul George's absence or anybody else I'm missing? I don't think they're going to make a trade, because you really need an asset or something to trade, and I don't think you can weaken that core any more than you already have. So, I mean, you could, maybe you trade Hibbert, maybe you trade West, but I don't think you do it. I think you just stand pat for the year. You try to make the best of it. They'll have a disabled players exception to use for up to, I think it's $5.5 million, which is which would push them past the luxury tax. I think they only've got about $1.6 million in wiggle room, so maybe they just go up to the tax line, because you know, if you're gonna push that tax line, you really have to know that you have a chance to do something special. And without Paul George this season, they just don't, and it sucks for them, but that's just the case. So I don't think they make any big trade. I think you'll have a signing at some point, but this team is kind of set, and they've got to tread water for as long as they can this season. At Super Perks, Alex Perkins wants to know, is Parsons really better than Hayward, or is that just perception since he played on a better team? I don't think Parsons is better than Hayward. I think Chandler Parsons is really good, but I think he was the third option, sometimes the fourth option on that Houston team last year, and Hayward was the number one option. Hayward put up, you know, relatively better numbers across the board, but he had the entire attention of the defense. I don't think Parsons at one point of the season had the entire attention of the defense. So I don't think it's really fair to compare those roles and look at Parsons' stats in a vacuum and look at Hayward's stats in a vacuum and say, oh, well, he shot better, so he's clearly better. I think Hayward, you put more talent around him, and that's what, you know, the development of Trey Burke, the development of Dante Exum, Derek Favors gets an offensive game, you know, that Jazz team really starts to come together. That's when you'll see Hayward's efficiency numbers go, you know, start to skyrocket again. But I think he's a better playmaker, he's a better scorer, he's a better rebounder. Parsons is a better defender and maybe a better shooter. Well, no, he's probably a better shooter. But no, I don't agree with the idea at all that Parsons is better than Hayward. I think that's crazy. At NBA_Spen, Spencer Lehman, a good person on Twitter, cracks me up all the time. Do you ever think Klay Thompson will be on the same level as Peja Stojakovic? Heated discussion a few nights ago. This was something I missed. I caught the tail ends of it the next day. Klay Thompson it's a weird conversation surrounding him right now. He's good. He's very good. He's very good in his role, I will say. He struggles in help defense. He doesn't pass the ball. And he's not good creating off the dribble, and he's kind of not that great inside. He's actually a very mediocre average true shooting percentage, which for a guy that's as good as he is with three-pointers, I mean, he's as good at his age and experience with three-point shooting as almost anybody in NBA history. But you know, he's a very defined role, and unless he expands his game, you know, he seems like he's got, you know, kind of a low ceiling. It's still a high enough ceiling to where he can be very valuable for you, but this may end up costing you a max extension. I mean, that's kind of the fallout of this Kevin Love trade, is that you wouldn't give up Klay Thompson for him. Well, you can't let him go on free agency. You can't let him get away as a restricted free agent. So you're definitely going to have to pay up, and he's going to end up making more than Steph because Steph's on a ridiculous contract from those ankle injuries. And so, you know, Klay, there's some pressure on Klay, and his agent can use that in negotiations, but there's some pressure on Klay to really develop and advance his game this season. I think we forget how good Peja Stojakovic was, and I would imagine a lot of the people that were arguing this were probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old when Peja was in his heyday. Peja was a better shooter, I would say, especially peak Peja, like 2002 to 2005. This guy was unreal. He was one of the best players in the world at moving without the ball, which is a great skill. He made good passes, decent enough rebounder. He was just a good scorer. He wasn't just an outside shooter. He could score all over the floor. He was automatic at the free throw line, except for, you know, Western Conference Finals. Peja was legit. Like Klay Thompson, if Klay Thompson gets to that Peja level, that's maximizing and then some what his ceiling is and what his ability is. And that's not a pejorative thing to say about Klay. That's just how good Peja was. So I don't see him getting to Peja's level, especially not peak Peja, but maybe because Peja had to cut things short a little bit with his career, I think you could end up arguing Klay Thompson will have a better career than Peja Stojakovic. Mike Clothier wants to know, what's been your favorite bad movie to live tweet so far this offseason? I'm not going to say it's a bad movie, but Sharknado 2. Sharknado 2 was just a phenomenal cinematic experience. It had elements of being a documentary. I think that they showed us what you should do in the event of a Sharknado. Tara Reid had a buzzsaw hand. Ian Ziering was a hero. Vivica Fox was phenomenal. I think that that was one of the best live tweeting experiences I've ever had, let alone this offseason. So it's definitely Sharknado 2. Slim Pickens 112 wants to know, what's the best Rock movie? One of the Fast movies or something like The Rundown or Walking Tall? All great bad movies. I'm actually going to go see Hercules some point this weekend, so maybe it'll end up being Hercules. But I would say Fast 5. His performance in Fast 5 was better, but the movie of Fast 6 was better. So performance-wise, I would say Fast 5. Movie-wise, I would say Fast 6. At Juan Torres, 823, wants to know, should the Pacers trade Hibbert, Hill, and or West and play for a top pick in the 2015 draft? I don't agree that they should tank, because I think it would take too much dealing, and it would actually strip their assets to be able to trade Hibbert, trade West, and trade Hill and get just all the way down bare bones as a roster. I think it's too late to execute a plan like that. So I would say no. They've got to, like I said before, they kind of just have to try to tread water. At C_OgleNBA, bet I know your answer, but do you think Ricky Davis could fill in for Paul George and single-handedly carry the Pacers? He could get buckets. I know he could do that. I know that when you get buckets, you get wins. So yeah, I think Ricky Davis would do a fine job filling in for Paul George. And when Paul George comes back, Ricky could say, oh, I thought they were just getting a guy to pass me the ball. At Wilcox 1232, who do you think are the 16 playoff teams as of right now? This is a tough one. Eastern Conference, Tim Bontemps and I talked about this a little bit in the podcast last week. But let's go Eastern Conference. Cavs are a lock. Bulls are a lock. Raptors, Wizards, Heat, Hawks. I feel like I'm missing a pretty important team here. Now the Pacers. I don't think the Pacers are a lock anymore. I guess I'll go Nets and Hornets. That's probably my eight in the East. And then the West, Spurs, Thunder, Clippers, Warriors, Rockets, Blazers, Grizzlies. And then I'm going to go with I think we have our same teams from last time with just a different order this time. At Ebelling 25, what kind of trades do you think would happen if the assumed Cavs and Wolves trade goes through? Well, that was asked before this trade goes through, so I think the next logical trade would be the Thad Young trade that I talked about, but there are some whispers. Darren Wolfson from a local radio station in Minneapolis said that that apparently Sam Hinkie was none too pleased that this Thad Young rumor. That was the thing about the Timberwolves. That front office is leaky. Because pretty much, almost everything that seemed to leak out during this thing, you could see how it would come from the Timberwolves in one fashion or another. So the fact that Hinkie is allegedly upset that this Thad Young situation and maybe trade talks, trade negotiations, or preliminary trade talks got out, I could see why he would not be too happy with this, and maybe that affects the deal, or maybe it doesn't. But that seems to be the next logical one. At Barry Hadshaw wants to know, if you could protect one part of the body so that no NBA player would ever get injured there again, what would it be? It would have to be knees. I have knee injuries. I've had big ones. We see too many ACLs torn all the time. We've got the Greg Oden knees. We've got the Brandon Roy knees, Andrew Bynum knees. No knees can ever get hurt again. Let's sign that document into a bill and have Congress pass it so we can not worry about that anymore. At Zach Scrom wants to know, if you could be a Sasquatch or Yeti, which would you pick and why? I would be a Sasquatch because, you're going to be in the papers because paparazzi's following you constantly, trying to get photos of you. And two, I don't think anyone's messing with the Sasquatch. I think people will mess with the Yeti. Yetis are fierce, but I think someone will mess with the Yeti. Sasquatch is too big. You're not going down that road. That's like saying you'd mess with Charles Oakley. I think that's just a bad idea. It's a bad recipe for what you're gonna bring upon yourself. At Barry Hadshaw also wants to know, what would be the prize for winning a midseason tournament? Seeding, cap space, money? I have no idea. Maybe you give them an extra second round pick or something. I don't know how. That's the thing about these in season tournaments. Like, that when people want to do it, the players have no incentive to add games to the schedule that already is a huge grind for them. So I'm anti in season tournament, and I don't know what you could possibly make. Maybe it's a charitable donation, but that's, it just seems like a bad idea to me. At Wilcox 1232 wants to know, what is Reggie Jackson worth in free agency if an extension isn't done? Will there be a Bledsoe situation like with the Suns next summer? He's not nearly that good, so I wouldn't say it's a Bledsoe situation. I think it's easier to get a guy like him figured out in restricted free agency. But I would think it depends on what his agent wants, obviously, but I think you can work out a moderate extension with Reggie Jackson. And if not, I don't think it would be hard to. I don't think you'd have to overpay to keep him by matching an offer sheet in restricted free agency. At Will Harahan wants to know, did you see Glenn Close's hair in Guardians of the Galaxy? Thoughts? I did. I'm also watching House of Cards right now, and so Sean Wright. No, Robin Wright. Robin Wright. Sean Wright. Robin Wright. Her hair is freaking me out because it looks like from the front that it's going to sweep behind and be long hair, but then she turns around, it's very short hair, so it's very disorienting. It's an optical illusion. Glenn Close's hair, it looked like one of those like if you really screwed up in that old NES Excitebike game, if you tried to like put too much stuff into a course, that's what her hair looked like to me. It looked like a badly designed course in Excitebike. So I don't know what was going on. There were all kinds of circles going on. Maybe it was the Olympic rings. I don't know. Maybe it was supposed to be suns or something. I don't know what it was, but it was quite awkward. And I it was one of the only downfalls of the movie. It's an excellent movie, and I'm not a comic book movie guy. But if you're one of the three people who hasn't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, I definitely recommend it. At Samus Fandiari, hopefully I didn't butcher that. What is your opinion of the realistic ceiling for Klay Thompson? That's a tough one because there's not a lot of players like him. I think maybe in terms of like impact, I think he could be a Richard Hamilton, like Detroit Pistons type guy. They're not similar players all that much, but I think that kind of impact, I think if you can get Klay Thompson to that level of effectiveness, that would be really good for him. I think if you're a Warriors fan, you will take Klay Thompson, $14 million a year, as a Richard Hamilton level guy. That's a pretty good value. At Sam Fredible wants to know, on a scale of Gamora to Groot, where would a Wiggins, Thad, Rubio, Peck, Brewer starting lineup rank in League Pass teams? It's Gamora to Groot, that's a great scale. It's, I would say it's somewhere in, like, the, it's somewhere in, like, when you're a kid, the concept of fireworks are really stupid. Like, there's bright lights and a big bang, and they're just constant, and they fall a different way, and sometimes they explode a different way. And, like, so if you think about, like, the entertainment of fireworks it's such a low intelligence thing, and yet we're all fascinated, like me included, like we're all fascinated by fireworks. Like, oh, there are fireworks in the sky, we have to go look, we have to go check out fireworks. But really, if you think about it, like, this is the baby in a crib with a mobile above that's glittery. Like, that's all that is, but we're fascinated with fireworks. So I would say, like, I don't know how actually effective that lineup would be, but I know it would be dazzling. And sometimes you just want to be dazzled. And sometimes you want to be dazzled your clothes. That's the life lesson. So I would say, on a scale of Gamora to Groot, it's 4th of July fireworks. Which is an odd thing. 4th of July fireworks, which is odd, because three of those five players are not American. Three of them are North American, with Thad, Andrew Wiggins, and Brewer. But Peck, Rubio, and Wiggins are not from the United States, so... yeah, but still 4th of July fireworks. At Crab Dribbles, great follow on Twitter if you don't follow him. Scott Rafferty wants to know, if Bledsoe stays for the qualifying offer, is it inevitable that he eventually leaves, and what would the Suns' course of action be? Yes. If he does the rare thing of deciding, all right, this restricted free agency, you're not giving me what I want, I'm going to take the injury risk, I'm going to go do the qualifying offer for 1 year, they would have to trade him. Because you're going to lose him in unrestricted free agency. There's just no way you can make it up to him. He'll have a lot of suitors. I think that if it gets to that point, you have to find a way to trade him by the deadline, which they could easily do. They've got a lot of movable parts. He would be a huge get. I think teams would even treat him. I think they would risk the rental with him because you'd have his bird rights. But, yeah, you have to trade him. If it gets to that, you can risk it, but... my God, if you lose him for nothing, that's just going to be all bad for a team that's really building towards something. At Vishal KG1 wants to know why you don't like my magic. Do I dislike your magic? I don't like magic. I don't like magic tricks. I like the Orlando Magic. I like what they're doing. I like Tobias Harris. I like Vic Oladipo. I like Aaron Gordon. I like Elfrid Payton. I like plenty of players on that team. So I don't know why you think I dislike your magic. But maybe you misheard and thought, when I was ripping on magic tricks, that I meant the Orlando Magic. I do think it's a stupid name, though. At Sir Fahrenheit wants to know, does anyone actually like being on Twitter anymore, or do we all secretly hate ourselves? I think we all secretly hate ourselves. I think you look at the conversations we have. I don't. There's no real substance to a lot of them, myself included. I don't read about anything of substance. I think we're at a point where this is flesh-eating bacteria, and we're just waiting to have our own skin be devoured by a bacteria we cannot control. So there are times where I really like it. People crack me up on Twitter all the time. The memes are usually pretty good. Reaction GIFs are great. The photos we share, like there are really good things about it. But actually conversing about anything you're passionate about on Twitter has become really difficult. Really difficult. But what else are you going to do? We have nothing to do. We're bored. Frank Cobbins wants to know, @Frank_Cobbin. I'm sorry, Cabina. @Frank_Cabbina. Explain the ending of Swordfish. It can't be done. It really can't be done. That movie, I got to live tweet that movie. That movie, from the start of it to the end, is exceptionally bad. And yet it pulls you in. There's a magnetism to it all. There's the bus, there's him trying to hack and prove he's a hacker while there are sexual things being done to him at the beginning. Halle Berry has somehow sold her soul for this movie. I can't imagine she needed the money that badly, but you never know. John Travolta's hair in this movie alone cannot be explained, let alone the ending. But we will try to work through this. I'll try to find it on TV, and we will live tweet this and figure it out together. At Allen E23 wants to know, will Jordan McRae make the Sixers? Who were the five most promising players you saw at Summer League? I think Jordan McRae is an NBA player. I really like his game. I think he's a solid shooting guard off the bench. I think he'll make it. I think he impressed them. Nerlens Noel was phenomenal. Wiggins was phenomenal. Dante Exum was incredible. Who else really impressed me? I would say Giannis Antetokounmpo looked really good. And then the last one is definitely Jack Cooley, because you never know if it's actually Luke Herangode. At Bo Schwartz wants to know, are you going on vacation this year? Yeah, I'm going to take a little time off at the end of this month. I'm probably going to New York for something, and then I've got a few days around that, and it's going to be around Labor Day, so I may hang out with some friends, your Charlie Widows, your Network, your Miles Brown, Graydon Gordian, all the famous Twitter people that are living in New York. So probably going to make that happen. Maybe even go to a tennis U.S. Open event during this time off. As Zach Scrum also wants to know, what NBA player would you want by your side if you were the main character of Sharknado 3? I would want Nikola Pekovic, because Peck, I think the Sharknado would actually go away from you if Peck is next to you. At Dream Shake, spelled with a 34 instead of an EA, wants to know, if you and Flip Freaky Friday, what would the Wolves roster look like the day after the trade deadline? I would be so bad. Here's how it would look. Rubio, I'd keep Mo Williams because he kind of got to. So Rubio, Mo Williams, Zach LaVine, Robbie Hummel, Chase Bunger. Let's see, Wiggins, Bennett, Shabazz. Let's throw Thad Young in there. I'd go get Thad Young. I'd keep Luke Richard Mbamute, Gorgui Jang, Rony Turioff, and Ricky Davis. I would sign Ricky Davis that day. I'd trade Barea. I'd trade Kevin Martin if I could. I'd trade Corey Brewer. I'd trade Nikola Pekovic just for the sense of trying to really tear down. I believe in the tear down. I believe in the rebuild. I believe in doing it properly. I don't think the Wolves will do that. They don't seem like they want to lose any veterans, but I would just have a young, athletic team that runs a lot and try to be exciting and bring in fans into the stands. At John D. Strong asks, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Yes, I have. Who are the Groot and Drax of the NBA? Groot has got to be Omer Asik, right? Like, he doesn't speak that much. He doesn't say anything of consequence. He's just a strong... I mean, his legs, if you've ever seen him in person... He just looks like he has tree trunks for legs, and he has such a wide base. He's just a monster of a man. There are very few guys that really, really kind of awe you with how big of a human being they are. Like, Aaron Gray's one, Shaq was obviously one, Roy Hibbert's one. Omer Asik is just this gigantic, thick Turkish man. Drax would probably... Who's Drax? I mean, I guess it's Nate Robinson. He's taking a lot of shots. He thinks higher of himself than he should, and he's a short little guy. Yeah, it's probably Nate Robinson. John also wants to know, will we ever hear you and Matt talk about Godzilla? Yes, we will do that at some point. We were going to talk Monday, but it didn't work out. So Matt is on vacation. When he comes back next week, we will eventually talk about Godzilla and probably a lot of other movies. Excuse me for butchering your name, but I'm an idiot. At Sfridesan_N. Assuming same one-year contract, who would you rather have, Kawhi, Melo, Paul George? I'm assuming this is Paul George healthy. Give me Melo. I know that Kawhi is great. I know that Paul George is great. I'll always take the score and fill in a defense around him. So I'll take the guy. He's just great in the clutch. Like, I'll go with Melo. I understand why you would take the other two, but I'll go Melo. At Cashton_J, Wizards, hire KD's high school coach and home team. Raptors, Drake recruiting, and Vasquez, high school teammates and childhood team, more compelling pitch. I would guess, well, I guess the more compelling pitch would be the Raptors, but I don't see a major free agent choosing Toronto until it happens. It's kind of like the LeBron going back to Cleveland thing. Like, until it happens, it's kind of hard to believe, even though there are signs pointing to why it makes sense. I just think that it's going to, for a guy to go to essentially a foreign country, which it is, I think that's a big step for pro athletes. And I don't, even though it's the same league and the same continent and all that, I don't know that we'll actually see it just yet. But I think it's you put him on that team and you put him next to Bruno, like, that's, and Jonas, like, that's a fun team. And that's a very good team. That's a team that wins, that could easily win the East. But I think the Wizards are probably ultimately the more compelling pitch because of the hometown factor. At Bobby underscore Hare wants to know, are you permanently in Miami now? If so, you keep covering the Wolves to the same degree. I am in Miami now, and I will cover the Wolves. I'll probably write about a lot of their road games, not do so much of the home games because I won't be there, even though I'll be watching. But yes, still covering the Timberwolves, still looking at what they're doing every day, but in Miami. Frank underscore Kavina then later said, for the record, I now regret writing the it can't be done part. Well, you were correct, so I don't know that you should regret that. At Alex Hoge, I'm just guessing it's pronounced Hoge, is there such thing as a passing gunner, and is Jason White Chocolate Williams the Ricky Davis, Nick Young of the category? Yeah, there are passing gunners. I think Monte's a passing gunner. Monte averages like 5 assists a game, I think, for his career. Iverson was a passing gunner. He averaged 5 or 6 assists a game. Kobe Bryant's a passing gunner. He averages 4 to 5 assists a game. But if we're going like more of a point guard, I would say Jason Williams is that guy. Can't really think of anybody else. Maybe Brandon Jennings? Brandon Jennings is a passing gunner. Maybe he's the current version. At Free Shane Heal, Bartholomew Cubbins wants to know, that can't be your real name, wants to know, with an offense more suited for his talents and possible addition of Young and Wiggins, we know Wiggins just about for sure, what kind of year can we expect from Rubio? It'll all depend on how he finishes at the rim, but I think you're going to see him average double-digit assists, average 2 to 3 steals a game, average probably over 4 turnovers a game, because I think he'll be sloppy trying to get their bearings early on. He shot his last 51 games last season. He shot 40% from the field. I would expect around 38-39% from the field this year, and 35% from three. At turnaround underscore J, Josh Davis wants to know, which UCLA guy will have the best career, and sugar or oatmeal cookies? Definitely sugar cookies. I know sugar cookies they're not that extravagant, but I'm not really an oatmeal cookie guy. It's not as extreme as my anti-carrot cake. I told someone the other day that I will never take another bite of carrot cake ever again. And the response is always, well, have you had a really good carrot cake? Yes, I've had a really good carrot cake. I've had it from great bakeries. I've had it from great restaurants. I don't like carrot cake. I just don't like it. I'm never going to like it. And I'm never going to take another bite because I know I don't like it. So there's no point. There's just no point. But so oatmeal cookies aren't that extreme for me, but I prefer sugar cookies by far. In terms of which UCLA guy will have the best career, I think Kyle Anderson. I mean, he's with the Spurs. I think he's the best player of the three. I think they'll all excel, though. I think he'll excel. I think Zach LaVine's going to excel. And I think that I think Jordan Adams is going to be really good once they kind of get the two wing positions to be less crowded in Memphis. I think those are three really good players. I think they're all gonna be good, but I think Kyle Anderson is the best of the bunch and will be the best of the bunch. At Jameezy9, our last question wants to know, do you think Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins, makes the USA team? Should he make the USA team? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you for being a first time, long time. Actually, I don't think it's your first time. You're a good responder on Twitter. That makes me laugh quite a bit. DeMarcus Cousins making the team. Now with Durant gone, no Paul George, Millsap got cut, Wall got cut, Bradley Beal got cut. Yeah, I think Cousins makes the team. I think they'll go super big. I think, you know, Davis is going to make it. I think Plumlee makes it. I think Cousins makes it. And I think he should. I think before Durant, before Paul George, I don't think he should have. I think that he was going to lose out a numbers game, which is fine. I mean, you're still going to have 12 great players. But I think DeMarcus is good enough. I think he's, you know, probably still some concerns about his personality with the team and keeping his temper. But he's done a really good job over the last few months and towards the end of last season of keeping his head. And for the most part, I'll say, instances here and there. But it seems to really be something he's conscientious of. And I think that I think we're going to see a much improved DeMarcus Cousins. And I think if he makes the team, and I think he will make the team, I think he's gonna be kind of a problem in short spurts for opposing defenses around the world. And then one more I'm going to throw in because I just got this tweet at FollowDB12. Didn't even tag with the AOB pod, but I just saw it in my mentions. Is How to Survive a Sharknado a real book? I don't know if it's a real book. I mean, I'm sure someone's going to put it out now. But the book in the movie that Tara Reid printed her name in when Kelly Osbourne asked her to sign it, that book was like a Galaxy tablet book. Like, they didn't even print out a fake page for Tara Reid to write on about, like, Sharknado, or, like, a graph of a Sharknado or something. That was a Galaxy tablet instruction manual. And so the one that we saw in the movie is not real. But, I mean, Tara Reid's coming out with a perfume, or maybe it's a cologne, called Shark. And you could follow that up very easily with a 90-page How to Survive a Sharknado book. That could be a pop-up book. It could be a coloring book. It could be a choose-your-own-adventure book. There's a lot of stuff you could do with it. So I think that, I think that if anything, if she doesn't write it, if Ian Ziering doesn't write it, I'll give me the advance. I'll certainly write it. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you guys listening through the inconsistent schedule. More, like I said, Steve McPherson will be the guest tomorrow. We'll have more guests next week as we start trying to hit all the teams that we've already discussed. We'll have discussed the Timberwolves tomorrow, discuss the Cavs, the Nets, the Knicks, and the Clippers. We're going to try to get through all these teams in the next month or so. And subscribe on iTunes, leave a 4 or 5-star review. Well, leave any review, but really 4 or 5 stars helps. We appreciate the support. You can follow me on Twitter at Talk Hoops, follow at Ion Basketball, and if you have a question, you can email Zach.Harper@CBSInteractive.com or tag it on Twitter with the hashtag EOBPod. Survive that Sharknado, kids.